And we've got the power, and we know how to love, right? Amen. So I'm continuing here for a few minutes about disciple all nations. And the thought behind this is, you know, it's about transforming our city, transforming our schools, transforming our workplace, transforming our state and our nation, not just winning a few people to Jesus Christ. The body of Christ too often has pulled back from positions of responsibility, positions of influence, because the powers around us put so much pressure on them. They said, you know, I just don't want to be a part of that because it's too wicked, it's too ugly. But if we leave it, how dark is it going to get? Whether it's our government or our schools, our hospitals, our courts, our workplaces, we cannot just gather together with those who believe like we do. We've got to start impacting or influencing the marketplace, our world. Amen? Thank you for your encouragement this morning. Wow. Amen? Jesus told us in Matthew 28:18-20 to take the gospel to the nations. That is a call. That is a divine directive. That is Jesus coming to your life and asking you to impact and influence the world around you. And we start with prayer. And there's a reason why that's that way. You see, because the hearts and minds of those who do not believe are blinded by the devil because they don't believe. I'll show you more of that in just a moment. But without outside illumination, they cannot see. Unless something enters into their life, they'll never be able to see. Because of the kingdom that they're living under, because of the darkness and the oppression. And as long as we keep pulling back, the darkness gets greater and greater. God told us about these last days. He said in the last days, darkness will increase, but his grace will also increase. So Jesus told us to pray for all men. We, through prayer, pull down the strong man. We have the keys of the kingdom. We have the power to bind and to loose. We have been given delegated authority. And once we begin to exercise our authority and we take our place of influence, first of all in prayer, we follow up with our actions. The lost, let me say this, the lost are not our enemies. The people that are persecuting the body of Christ around the world, they are not our enemies. The people who are taking stands for lifestyles that are completely and totally outside of the kingdom of God, they are not our enemies. The people that are trying to bring thought of study and education into our schools that's outside of truth, they are not our enemies. Principalities and powers are our enemies. Too often, I've shared this many times, but too often we fight the wrong battle. We get caught up in fighting people and their thoughts and their ideas and their beliefs, when really the battle is against the principalities and powers that are dominating them. And if we don't deal with that, then the people that we're trying to reach are never going to be able to hear the gospel, or they'll never take down the walls so that you can speak to them. Jesus said, go, and he said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. So we've got to go. Jesus said, heal the sick and tell the people that the kingdom of God, has come near you. He also said, the fields are white unto harvest. I don't know a farmer that runs away from a field that's ready to harvest because of the work that's involved or the cost or the effort. I can tell you more than once, you know, when I was farming and we were harvesting, the equipment would break down. We had one thought on our mind. We've got to get back in the field. The harvest must be gathered. So today I want to talk to you about four steps of prayer, or four steps in towards saving our nation, towards saving our city, toward transforming our world around us. Go with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 5 through 10, if you will, please. Luke 10, verses 5 through 10, starting in verse 5. Jesus speaking here, he says, "But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to the house." I want you to say this. Say, peace to the house. You've got to say something. Hello? Just for a moment, okay? And I'm not trying to put guilt or condemnation on you, but I'm just trying to get us to think about it. What have we been saying about our family, our neighbors, our community, our government, local, state, federal? What have we been saying about the opposition that would seem to be standing against the message of Jesus Christ, Him crucified and raised from the dead? What have we been saying about those that have taken a position where they think they are against us? What have we been saying? Jesus told His disciples, when you enter into a house, first say, peace to the house. He didn't say, you're my enemy. He didn't say to tell them, go ahead and stand against them. He said, peace to this house. It's interesting. What was the message on the day that Jesus was born? What was the message that God brought when the heavens opened up and the light came and that the shepherds were staying there in the darkness? What did He say? He said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace toward men. God said, peace. In other words, He says, I'm not fighting you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. To the extent that He sent Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for you and I, so that you and I who believe on Him would be saved and not be condemned. God's not looking at the world as if they are His enemy. He sees them as a harvest. He's sending out a call to bring them to the banquet, and we are the ones who take that out. So step number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Declare or speak peace to them. I wonder how many times we've been unable to share the truth because our words have gone before us and they've created problems. Well, you know, they don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. They're living like they don't have any sense. They don't know what they're doing. They don't like me. They won't listen to me. Number one, declare or speak peace to them. We need to declare peace because we have been at war with the lost. Think about that. Think about some of the things that the body of Christ has said and done concerning reaching the lost, how they've set them aside, they've alienated them, they put the lost in a position where they feel like they are our enemy. When really, they are not. They are not. We've been sent to the harvest field, and the lost are our harvest field. They're the fruit waiting for the message of Jesus Christ. I was reading a book, Ecclesia, by Dr. Ed Silvoso. He said, blessing the lost will keep us from cursing them. You can think about that in your own home. Putting words of blessing and peace and joy upon your lips and speaking them is a whole lot different than saying, you know, Leonard, you're just a problem. I just don't know what to do with you, Leonard. I don't know what's going on. You know, that's not helping, is it? Go to Proverbs 11:11. I don't know whether I gave this to Terry or not, so I don't know whether it's up there. It is up there. Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. By the blessing of the upright. That word blessing literally means benediction. It's talking about something that you say. It also has the implication of prosperity. Or I can say by the prosperity of the upright. And I'm not talking just money. I'm talking about the relationship that we have with God. The peace that we have with God. The oneness that we have with God. By the blessing, by what we bring to our communities, what we bring to our families, what we bring to our state or our nation. The city is exalted, or the nation is exalted, or the family is exalted, or the company. How many laborers are going to go to work tomorrow morning saying, oh, you know, they just don't care about me. All they think about is money. They're so hard to work for. They don't know what they're doing. It's no wonder the company's struggling. How many workers are going to be doing that? When really God said the business, the state, the city, the school, the hospital, the courtrooms, wherever you labor, are blessed, exalted, lifted up by your words. You say, well, Pastor, you ought to be working there. You know what it's like. Well, what are you doing to change it? Well, I'm working with all these people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how many combines does it take to harvest one field, Leonard? Just one. Are you the one? That's what we're getting down to. And where we start, we're going to start blessing those that are around us, blessing the company we work for, blessing the city, the state, the whatever, speaking words that bring increase and blessing to them. Start talking about your neighbors. Say, you know, I have access to my neighbors. My neighbors love me. I speak peace upon them. I speak blessing upon them. It says, by the blessing of the upright. It's kind of interesting, Pastor Terry, but the only way you can reap a harvest is to go out there and get it. It's not going to come to the bin. It's not. And we want harvest. We want people saved. We want miracles. We want signs and wonders. And we need to start by the words that are coming out of our mouth in prayer and while we're walking around our city. When you're walking through your neighborhood, what are you saying? It's a good thought, isn't it? I'm calling these people to Christ. I'm saying that this city's blessed. I'm saying Jesus is Lord over this neighborhood. I'm saying Jesus is Lord over this family. I'm saying that we're a family of peace. We're a family of joy. We're a family of victory. And you say, well, Pastor, it's not that way. Well, what are you doing to change it? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Oftentimes, when things start going backwards in a community, the righteous start moving out. They move out of neighborhoods. They move out of schools. They move out of industries because they're looking for some place where there's peace. Why don't you bring peace to where you are? It says, by the blessing of the upright, the city, and you can put whatever you want in there. You can put your career. You can put your school. You can put whatever it is there, is exalted. It's lifted up. It profits. It's the word exalt means to be high, to rise or arise. It means you lift it up from where it is to something better, to increase. Maybe you're in a neighborhood that's run down and broken down. It can change. Maybe, you know, we're in a city. Maybe some of you live in a city where there's a lot of crime and corruption. It can change. Or a school where a lot of the things are going, it can change. By your blessing, the city or the school or the town or the career, business is exalted. But then it goes on to say, but it, talking about whatever it is you're blessing or cursing, is overthrown by the mouth of the... How is it overthrown, Pastor Terry? By the words of the wicked. Say, well, I'm not the wicked. Well, what are you saying? The righteous ought not be saying things that the wicked are saying. You know, God has given us a great tool, Leonard. It's called our mouth, our tongue. I often say that we never fail because we don't know enough. We fail because we're not doing what we know to do. We're not using what we have. I would say you never fail because you don't have enough money. You're not using it with God's direction. I'd say you never fail because you don't know enough. Do what you know, and then you'll get more knowledge. So there are two things here. There is a blessing and and there is a curse. And it either brings increase or it pulls it down. That word overthrown means to pull down or to pull in pieces, break or destroy. So we can either break or destroy, or we can exalt. We are the believers, right? We are the one whom God has sent into the earth. For instance, I'm just going to use this. We sit here this morning, it's summertime. There's not very many people in church. We can sit and say, well, you know, what's the use? What are we doing about it? I know, you know, I'm just going to use Travis' example. They have a business, you know, they have a construction business. And I know that he goes to work every day. He does something about what he's looking for. He goes for it. And every day we're surrounded with people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you today, this is the way we start. We begin to speak peace to those to whom God has sent us, rather than speaking words that are standing against us and against them. Do you understand that? When we speak peace, think about this. When we speak peace, we neutralize the demons assigned to blind the lost to the light of the gospel. Think about that, Pastor Terry. Now, you work with youth in the schools. Are there any issues in the schools? Well, then I think we should take all of our kids out of the schools. We ought to start our own little school so everything is okay. You know what, Leonard, I've discovered? That no matter where your kids go to school, the devil is there. I don't care what the name of the door is. There's a gentleman that attends this church. He's Jew by birth. He got born again, and he ended up in Webster, South Dakota as a young man. I said, how did you get there? Well, he says, my mom thought if you took me from the town we were in to there, I'd get in less trouble. I said, did it help? He said, no. Why was that? Because it's the same everywhere you go. The blessing causes exaltation. What you say that's cursing tears it down. And what we speak, we can either neutralize the demons assigned to blind the lost, or we can set them free. Think about that. Who's been given the power to bind and loose? To whom did God say, whatever you ask, I will do it for you? To whom? He said it to us. Whom did he say, if you ask for the nations, I'll give it to you? If you ask for your family, will he give it to you? If you ask for your industry, will he give it to you? Or your business? Or your school? Your city? Your state? Will he give it to you? Will you pray? Did he do it? Yes. What are we saying? You see, because I have the power to bind and loose, the words that I speak, they are containers of power. They give authority and license to God and the angels of God, the Holy Ghost, and the Lord Jesus to move in our midst, because God gave dominion over of the earth to men. And Jesus got it back, and he gave it to us. And what I choose to believe and say about my neighborhood, about the people I live with, or people I work with, or go to church with, either gives the enemy license or it gives God license to move in our midst. Think about it. Matthew 13:19. Matthew 13:19. This is when Jesus was teaching the sower sows the word, or we call it the parable of the sower sows the word. What he's teaching is why the word of God works in the lives of people and what causes it to not be fruitful. Okay? And in verse 19, it's talking about when the word is sown on the wayside. The wayside would be like this parking lot here, or the sidewalk, or the street. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. Snatches, well, I'm going to read this. Is that the New Kings? And snatches away, go to the next frame. What was sown in his heart, this is he who receives seed by the wayside. So, what I'm wanting to share with you is when we're sharing our lives, we're sharing our testimony, we're sharing our story in Christ, when we're endeavoring to reach out and touch our world, we're sharing truth with people, If they cannot hear it, the enemy comes and steals that which was sown. The illustration is, if I throw seed out here on the driveway, the birds of the air can come along, just pick it up and run off with it. True? Why? It was not received into the soil. It was not covered up. Okay, when you and I are sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people hear it, but if they don't receive it, if they're not able to understand it, then the enemy comes and steals it from them. So, well, how does he do that? He just lies to them and they believe it. They're under this cloud. They're under this oppression. They cannot see. They can't understand. They cannot hear. But I have been given authority. I can bind and I can loose. I can pray in Jesus' name. Jesus said, the word of God says that the name of Jesus is above every name, that at that name every knee must bow. Now, who's been given that name? And who did he tell to go? I think sometimes we find it difficult to reap harvest concerning the souls of men because we haven't prepared the soil. Think about it. Every farmer does something to prepare the soil before he plants. Even if they're doing no-till, their planter, they've got something to stir up the soil in front of the knife that's placing the seed in the ground. Preparing the soil. And I'm wondering how much lack of preparation is a result of we're not praying for those whom God has sent us to. We're not dealing with that kingdom of darkness that's living over their life, and we're trying to share with them, but they can't see and they can't understand because of the darkness that they're living in. But if I begin to take authority over that, over the lives of people, over our government, over our schools, over our courts, over our city, because I have authority. You have authority. We've been sent by Jesus. We can do something about it. I'm thinking about one, and I've talked about this a lot. It's this attitude in the United States we have now where nobody wants to work. And we talked about it, and we fuss about it. We keep talking about it, and we fuss about it. We keep talking about it. What are we doing? Are we building walls? We sure are, aren't we? Why are they there? Because we're allowing them to stay there. What you say, well, Pastor, what can we do about it? Start speaking peace on those workers. Start declaring, I'm saying it. They're free from that. And the laborers want to work. They value labor. They want to be excellent at their work. I'm saying it in Jesus' name. And I speak to those principalities and powers that are trying to destroy the labor force in the United States. I command you to loose the people and set them free. But instead, we're just grieving about it. I've done it myself. Every employee that I talk to, every employee, not just in this city, they cannot find people who want to work. And we just keep talking about it, talking about it, talking. Have we prayed about it? Have we pulled that down? Have we refused to allow it to work in our land? You see what I'm saying? And because we haven't done that, then they can't hear the truth. It says here, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, he's talking about those in whom the seed is sown where their hearts are hard. Either they don't believe or they don't understand or whatever. Now, why would the wicked one, Leonard, want to snatch the word that was sown in their hearts? Why does he want to get that word picked up? He does not want it to take root and grow, does he? Because that seed, how did that, let's put it this way. I think it says something like, your word is a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance, and like a fire that consumes all that cannot withstand the test. See, the word of God goes out and it can soften, it can shatter the hardness of every heart, but we've got to prepare the soil so they can receive it. We've got to do something with the kingdom of darkness that's trying to destroy their life. Amen? Number one, we need to declare peace over those that we're trying to reach. Back to verse 6, Luke 10, verse 6. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Verse 7. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Step number 2. Remember, step number 1 was declare peace to them. Step number 2. Are you ready? You're sure? Eat with them. Engage in two-way fellowship. Now, you've heard me say we need to develop some friends who don't know Jesus. I'm not trying to tell you to go out and do what they're doing. You doing what they're doing will not bring them to Christ. But you can create an atmosphere. You can bring them into your fellowship. They will like it. They will like you because you have peace in your life. You have love in your life. You have joy in your life. You've got power in your life. We shy away from the world we're trying to reach because we don't want them to contaminate us. They can't contaminate you unless you bring it into your life. Step number 2 was eat with them. Engage in two-way fellowship. Build relationship with people who have never received Jesus. Matthew 9, 10 through 11. I don't know whether I gave these to Terry or not, so if not, look in your Bibles. Matthew 9, 10 through 11. Or Matthew 9, 10, actually. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, you got to get this, guys. Jesus sat down and ate with sinners. Hello. What's he doing? He's making himself available to the harvest, to the field that needs to be harvested. He walked among them. They could talk to him. They could touch him. They could see him. The church, in many ways, is trying to be what the world is to try to bring them in. Gary Crowell said this to me when he was here. Was it just last week? Seems like forever. He says, whatever you do to get people, you have to do to keep them. So if I have dancing girls to get people in here, what do I got to have? Dancing girls every time they show up, huh? Amen? What do we want? We want the power of God. That's what we do to get him in here. We want the truth. We've got the love of God. That's what we use to get him in here. And what are you going to use to touch the lives of people? You're going to be your sweet, lovely self. Be kind. Be nice. Be available to them. Make friends with the world. But not be the world. Not be like them. You know, your pastor is always encouraging you to be very, very careful about what you partake of. A lot of times I talk about alcohol, and somebody said recently, yeah, but I've witnessed to a lot of people in the bar. I'm not against that. Just don't do what they're doing. Hello. Thank you for your encouragement. Your overwhelming incitement is amazing. Then in Luke 19, verse 5, Jesus said this, and when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay in your house. Zacchaeus was a hated tax collector. The first verse he was talking about Matthew's in Matthew's house, and they came and sat down with the sinners. Here, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, who was a Jew, okay, said, I'm going to go to your house today. He made himself available. He inserted himself into the man's life. Let's go to another one. Luke 7:47. Talking about the lady who washed his feet with her tears, wiped it off with her hair, and anointed his feet. It says, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Mary, who was a sinner, washed his feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair, kissed his feet continually. When the religious saw her actions, they said, doesn't Jesus know she is a sinner? She did not make him unclean, but he gave her life. Read this story for yourself. Jesus wasn't afraid, Leonard, to step out there to reach out to those who couldn't see, who couldn't understand. Did he put up with a lot of grief? Absolutely. Did they try to kill him? Yeah, they did. You know, they're going to throw him off a cliff. He just walked away from them. They couldn't do anything about it because it wasn't his time. There came a time when he went to cross, but he gave himself over to that because that was his destiny. That was his purpose, that you and I might be set free. So I gave you three examples there where Jesus made himself available to sinners. Step number two, or three, are you there? Minister to their felt needs. Step number three, minister to their felt needs. Luke 14, 12 through 14. First of all, you're going to declare peace. Number two, you're going to make yourself available to them. You're going to fellowship with them. You're going to eat with them. You're going to bring them into your realm of influence. Luke 14, 12 says, then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Wow. What was step number three? Minister to their felt needs. Jesus went about doing what? What did he do? He went about doing what? Was he doing that on purpose? When he went to Zacchaeus that day, when Zacchaeus was in the tree, Jesus walked into the city, he walked through the city, came to Zacchaeus' tree and said, I come down, I need to go to your house. It was on purpose. It was a divine will. He was inserting himself into the life of someone who was outside of the wisdom of God, outside of the kingdom of God, outside of the life of God. And when he got through Zacchaeus, he was a new man. Matthew became one of the disciples. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, was a lady that cried on his feet, wiped his hair, and anointed his feet. She became a great disciple for Christ. Before that, she was full of devils. You see what I'm saying? There's a felt need here. Last step, and then we're going to call it quits. Step four. Number four. You proclaim peace. What was the second one? Eat with them. The third one was build a relationship with them, fellowship with them. Number four is proclaim the kingdom of God has come. Romans 8:8 through 13, we're not going to go there. It says it is near you, in your heart and in your mouth. They need to know, how can I receive Christ? You've spoken peace to them. You spend time with them. You eat with them. You're praying for them. And then you tell them about Jesus Christ. It says this in Romans 10, 14 through 15. This is our last scripture. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Say, well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. You are lying. You are. You are a minister of righteousness. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are God's harvest team. Amen? So, four steps were, declare or speak peace. Eat with them, build relationship, meet felt needs, and number four, proclaim the kingdom of God has come. Any prayer requests this morning?